Body, Mind, Spirit Radio, your live connection to the information for a healthy body, an enlightened mind, and a renewed spirit.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Body, Mind, Spirit Radio and today's brand new show, Blessings with Celine. I'm very honored to introduce her to you. Celine is a grief coach and angel intuitive who, after experiencing the personal loss of a child, restored her life by receiving and accepting loving messages from spirit. She brings her guidance, experiences, and spiritual approach to those parents who are grieving and strives to help them nurture their connection to their child, to God, and to the angelic realm. She is the author of Not Your Usual Grief Book, How to Heal While Connecting with Your Child Who Died, in the hopes of spreading her message of healing and love to all those who need it. So without further ado, I would like to welcome your host, Celine Negrette. Hi, Celine.
Hi, Courtney. Thank you so much. I'm so excited about this show.
Awesome. Well, I'm excited that for your first show, you are allowing me to interview you so your listeners can get to know you better. I think it's wonderful, and it's a great opportunity for me to get to know you better as well.
Thank you so much for agreeing to do that.
Oh, no problem. It's a pleasure. So tell us a little bit more about your life, your background. How did you become a grief coach? How did you choose that path for yourself?
Well, my life has not followed a straight line like I thought it would. So I thought I was going to, I got my degree in my bachelor's in biochemistry, had a family, thought that after my youngest child was old enough to go to kindergarten, I would go back to school and get my master's and teach either biology or chemistry. But I feel that the universe had a different plans for me when my oldest child, who was six, my son Christopher, became ill one night and was diagnosed with acute lymphoblastic leukemia, ALL for short. And that changed my life forever and the life of my family. I had two other children that were younger, a boy that was four and a girl 15 months old. And what happened is that as my son was going through all these treatments, I was also going through sort of an awakening as I began to question the answers that the religion I had been raised into was giving me and found that they were not comforting at all. It was as if a rock had been opened and a spiritual door opened up for me. And I began to realize that the God that I believed in was a loving presence that was unconditionally loving. And that when people would say to me, God doesn't give you a burden heavier than you can carry, that did not resonate with me at all with the loving presence that I knew God to be. So different things began to happen to me. For example, I had an experience just hours before my son died when there was a strong smell of roses just in the air between him and I. I had no idea what that meant, but it was very, very powerful. And so it stayed with me. And later on, after my son died, I realized that there was a loving presence there in that moment waiting for my son. And that gave a great comfort to my heart. So after my son died, I began to have more experiences. And I began to realize, for example, that Christopher was leaving messages for me to let me know that he was around me and that he loved me. And some of those experiences were, and some of those messages came through dreams. And the dreams did not feel like regular dreams. They felt like visitations, like he was with me and I would feel his arms actually hugging me. And I didn't know, it was so comforting to have those. I had those dreams for 2 years. But anyways, one night, as I was having this dream and visiting with Christopher, my other son came into the room and woke me, interrupted me. And I actually felt my astral body come back into my body. Now, I have read about the astral body, and I didn't really believe it, but I actually experienced that. And so these were things that completely were changing me. I had had a very scientific mind, very skeptical mind prior to this. And so it's not like it was easy for me to accept them, but when things happen to you, you can't deny them. And so he had a collection of feathers. We had a song that was our song. He loved monarch butterflies. So he would use those things to come to me, but it wouldn't happen randomly. It would happen. Those things would happen. Those messages would come through when I was at my lowest. And so I found a lot of comfort and a lot of healing with realizing that my son was no longer here, but his spirit was still here. And our love was eternal and that it could heal me. So I went back to school because I wanted to help other grieving parents. So this was 5 years after his death. I went back to school, became a social worker, and I started working as a pediatric hospice social worker with children, their parents, and their siblings. And I did that for 17 years up until this year. And then now, this year, I just realized that it is time to bring this spiritual approach to healing the hearts of grieving parents to the world, to a larger arena. And so I have been now offering personalized grief coaching to help those parents, as well as my program From Winter to Spring. So this is where I'm at right now.
That's amazing. You know, a lot of people who lose children or go through grief, they kind of shut down. You know, it's almost like they put up that thick wall or, you know, just kind of blockade themselves in a way. But it sounds like you tried to stay open. You know, what pushed you to do that? You know, I guess everybody's, I don't want to say normal reaction, but the most common reaction is to close up, shut down, stay in that grief. But it sounds like you did quite the opposite with that. So how were you able to do that, you know, while grieving a child?
I think that what happened was that there really was, I can't explain how it happened, but I do remember clearly having the realization, like I said before about that rock being open all of a sudden, that instead of asking, people would say to me soon after Christopher was diagnosed, they would say to me, don't you ask yourself, why me? And don't you blame God? Are you angry at God? And I realized that the right question was, why not me? You know, what made me think that this could happen to other children and families? And that I was just like, so special that something like this wouldn't happen to me. So it was really eye-opening for me. It made me realize that I had been looking at life thinking that because I was a good person, because I went to church, I was somehow protected. And the realization, the vast realization that the truth of the matter is that bad things can happen to all of us at any time. It's just too scary for us to think that random things like that can happen. And we have, when those things happen, then we have a choice. We can blame God, or we can say, I am open to this loving presence that is walking with me, guiding me, helping me, my son, and my family. And that is what I did. And that's why all of this happened. And I believe other parents choose to do that as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, I definitely think that, you know, that is amazing and very powerful that you were able to look at the situation like that. You do provide grief coaching to parents. What in specific do you offer, and how does that work for an individual?
Well, first of all, I need to begin by talking with a parent and just to see where they're at in the grief process, because I would say the first year to 2 years, depending on the person, it's a very delicate time where it's important to just kind of like wallow in your grief. Just cry. Just let out your anger, your frustration, your desperation, your hopelessness. Just let it out, because in letting it out, then you open the room for healing. But then after you have done that, for those parents, that is a healthy way to move through your grief. But for those parents who do allow themselves to do that, there comes a point when they say to themselves, enough. It is time for me to function better in life. Because, you know, I need to be present, fully present for my children, for my relationships, for my work, for myself. And it is at that time when it's a perfect time for us to work together. You know, and then once we make that connection that this is the right time for us to work together, then I can begin to guide them with specific practices that they can use to deal with whatever. It's personalized because each person is different. So on a weekly basis, we talk. I send them recordings, materials for them to read, guided visualizations if they are needed, and I provide them with a downloadable healing journal where they can just keep a record of everything that they're doing in one place and just basically help them move through that dark tunnel that they don't know how to get out of, to a place where they can see the you know, glimpses of the light and hope.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you feel like you combined spiritualism with your grief coaching? Do you feel like the two go hand in hand?
They do go hand in hand. The spiritualism in the sense that I would love to be able to help other parents live a life where they have a sense of knowing as to why things happen in this world, and that there is much more to life than what we see with our eyes, and that there are ways to live less afraid, because we have and this is where the spiritualism comes, you know, into play, because we have a huge support system in other realms, in the form of angels and God, and even the spirit of our child, who are just so willing to help us if we ask them. So I would love to bring that, because there is a lot of fears that come through for parents after their child dies. So yes, mm-hmm. in short, yes, I do combine the two.
Now, you're the author of Not Your Usual Grief Book, How to Heal While Connecting with Your Child Who Died. What is unusual about your book? What makes it stand out? And, you know, you've talked about connecting to your child. What does that exactly mean for people out there who maybe don't understand that?
Okay, well, the reason I chose that title, Not Your Usual Grief Book, is that the grief books are out there, and I have read many of those during my process of grief and then in helping other parents during my professional life. I found that they are helpful, but they don't incorporate the spiritual practices. It's the spiritual practices that can really help parents. So my book brings that. It combines the kind of didactic elements that I learned just from my being a social worker and working with grieving parents, with the guidance and the lessons that I have gathered during my own journey of grief. And that happened, and I should say that this happened 21 years ago, my son died. It's taken this long for all of those lessons to just kind of like come to a place where they were like ready to be published.
Wow, 21 years.
Yes, that is a lot yeah.
But, you know, for listeners out there, you know, I'm sure that somebody out there is listening going, oh, wow, you know, it sounds like she did this in such a short amount of time and moved past mm-hmm. this, but it took time for you and it takes time for everyone. You know, there's that saying that we never stop grieving, that grief is an open book. It never ends, you know, so it seemed like you were able to still encompass that over a period of time.
Well, this is the thing. We don't stop grieving until we take our last breath. We will grieve until we take our but our grief does not have to stop us from living. Because the lesson in when we experience a big loss, whether it is a child or any loved one, is that one of the biggest lessons is that we don't know what's going to happen from moment to moment. So we need to tell our loved ones that we love them all the time. We don't know if that's going to be the last time we see them. So we need to live with a sense of urgency. That is very scary. And people are like, well, that's morbid. But it's not. It is just being in touch with the fact that every moment that we have with someone we love is a gift and that we have to live it fully. We don't have to just live it taking for granted. There's less suffering when you live your life that way. So it took me a long time because I didn't have a grief coach. I didn't have someone that guided me through this. I had to just kind of like claw my way out of that dark tunnel and into a more luminous space. That's why it took so long. It doesn't have to take that long. It's different from each person depending on where they're at, what they want, and what they need. Now, when it comes to answer the other part of your question that was about what does it mean to connect with your child, what it means is that and I hear this from other parents when I was working as a hospice social worker, that they receive messages from their child. For example, well, a dragonfly flew by. Oh, I think it's my child. Could it be my child? Or am I just imagining this? And if they share that with their family members, they're like, oh, she's going crazy now. The grieving parents deal with a lot of criticism, which is very, very hard, you know, for them, which is why they shut down. They shut down to protect themselves. So the different piece about that is that how can parents who are grieving receive a message and know, because they have gotten in touch with their intuition, that it is their child? And how do they know? Because the messages come, the butterfly, the dragonfly, the feathers, they come when they're at their lowest. They don't come just, you know, no time. They come when you are like, I can't live anymore without you. That's when the message comes. And that is your child telling you, I'm happy here. I'm doing well. Don't worry. Don't suffer. So that the piece that I want to bring to the parents is how can they utilize, connect with the messages that their child is giving, living for them, and then open their hearts so that the love for their child can enter and heal their hearts. So that is the connection with the child.
I think you bring up, you know, very fabulous points, especially, you know, that expectation of, you know, being morbid, you know, trying to live every day to the fullest. You know, mm-hmm. I want to give an example. My father passed away this year on Father's Day. We were on vacation the last week of April, and he went into the hospital thinking that he had, you know, bronchitis or pneumonia, and he got diagnosed with stage 4 lung cancer, and he passed away within 2 months. And he was told he had 5 years. So, you know, timing is of the essence. And I totally agree with you. You have to tell people you love them. You have to be, you know, be there, be present, be mindful, appreciate what you have, because you never know what could happen tomorrow, and you never know how fast somebody could actually, you know, be pass on or be removed from your life. So I totally agree with you. It's not morbid to do those things. It's just living life to the fullest, appreciating what you have while you have it.
Yes, totally.
And, you know, with the social work aspect, it sounds like you really encouraged people to connect and accept those messages, which I think is beautiful because that system, you know, social work, the medical field, the healing field, it doesn't always, you know, present those opportunities. It doesn't always teach us that, you know, this can go hand in hand. So it sounds like you were still able to bring that to the table, even though you were in such a rigid field, I guess is the best way to put it.
Yeah, I think that I, for the past 17 years, I really, really tried, but I really got tired of, you know, just making tiny little chinks, you know, into that armor of coming from the mind, you know, rather than coming from your heart and spirit, or combining the two, which is the best way. Yeah, it became too difficult. You know how the medical field is. And I think that the progress is being made. There is, you know, slowly but surely there is, you know, they're accepting, you know, Reiki treatments. They're accepting other modalities. There is a little bit more, but I do realize that it's very hard for the medical, because it is ruled by the head, you know, by the mind, by ration, that the spiritual components of your child leaving messages for you and that being healing to your heart, that's just not something that is utilized. I did do it while I was working with my parents, and I affirmed those for them. Affirmed those messages, yes.
Well, I would have to say good for you. Now, I do know you're an angel intuitive. Let's talk about that. You know, how did you become that? How did you step forward and accept that? How did you learn to accept that piece of yourself?
Well, it's all related to the whole journey of, you know, healing as I was grieving, in that when I began to realize, made the connection that, you know, Christopher was leaving messages, they did not happen at random times, and that they were so comforting to my heart that they felt like a little balm to my heart whenever I made that connection. Then I also began to connect with the angels, in that I felt guided to buy a deck of cards. And I remember clearly it was Healing with the Angels by Doreen Virtue. And that was my first deck. And I started using them because I wanted to, I needed help with my fears and worries. After you lose a child, then I would be worried that one of my other children, whenever they got sick, I was so worried that they were going to have cancer, that they were going to find cancer cells in their blood. And I remember clearly one conversation that I had with God, and I said, I cannot do this anymore. I cannot live with this anguish anymore. I'm going to put it in your lap. And I'm going to trust that if it is to be that one of my other kids is going to have cancer too, then you're going to help me deal with it. And I cannot do this anymore. And that was a complete letting go of worries for me on that account. But then after Christopher's death, I had other kind of worries. I, you know, my husband and I divorced. I went to school. I had financial concerns. So to help me with all those other worries, I started connecting with the angels. And it was so magical and just so amazing how comforting it was to realize that I had guidance available to me, that I didn't have to do this alone. I didn't have to do life alone. I had guidance. There were messengers, you know, from God that were here to help me if I asked them. So in my own journey, I, you know, decided that I wanted to nurture that connection further, And then I became a certified angel intuitive in order to also not just continue to receive this message, but in also to help others receive, you know, guidance and hugs to their heart from the angels.
Mm-hmm. Now, is there an experience that maybe comes up off the top of your head that you would like to share with the listeners about connecting with the angels? Like, is there a story or just one experience that maybe just comes up right away that you might want to share when it comes to connecting to the angels or having an experience with them?
Well, what is absolutely day to day, from day to day, I have experiences with the angels that just completely fill my heart with gratitude. But with the angel intuitive, when I'm able to actually kind of have a conversation, not through cards, but just have a conversation with them and send the angels around the person that I am connecting with, I become so fully aware of that, the purity of that energy, the purity of that vibration, and it makes me get tears in my eyes. And that is my most, it happens every time I connect just intuitively rather than using the cards. And now using the cards, when I do my blessings with Selene on Facebook, I always get a card with the intention. I ask the angels for a message for all the persons who are listening to that video of the week. And then I give them messages, the messages of the angels. And some of the people that are listening and watch the videos on Facebook, they comment how the messages are so completely perfect in answering the questions that they had and the concerns that they have. And so that is very affirming in the capacity that the angel cards have to actually be an instrument of healing for those who are open to them.
Now, do you feel that you use your gifts as an angel intuitive and it kind of goes hand in hand with the grief counseling, or is
yes.
it something, okay, just so our
yes.
listeners understand that that's something that you tend to do with the grief counseling, it's not something that you do separate.
I can do it separate, but I also listen to the guidance of the angels when I am counseling my clients.
Awesome. Well, we are at about a half hour in, so I just want to take a moment. If somebody would like to connect with you or purchase a copy of your book, how would they do that?
The best, there are two different ways. They can go to my website, www.notyourusualgriefbook.com, and click on the link for the book. They can go to Amazon. It's available on Amazon.com. They can email me at SeleneNegreteAuthor@yahoo.com. Or they can go on Facebook and look for Selene Negrete Author. And I'll be happy to communicate with anyone who's interested.
Awesome. Well, I hope all of our listeners take advantage of that and definitely take a look at your book and connect with you. You know, what advice would you give to parents who have lost a child? Because I'm sure that there are a lot of the listeners out there, you know, they may be in the process of grief right now, or they may be in the process of losing a child, or they've lost a child and they haven't been able to work through that. So what advice would you give? What advice would you put out there for your listeners today?
You know, the first thing I would say is to be kind to themselves and to remind themselves how much they love their child and to reassure themselves that their child knew and felt their love. Oftentimes, and I went through this as well, we feel guilty that we were not perfect for our child. And perfection does not exist. And we do the best that we can. And our children love us unconditionally. And so to be kind to ourselves is the number one thing that would I encourage them to do. And then also to just the grief process, the loss, that experience changes as parents, not just inside, but also outside. Inside in that we just are so completely different. We feel so completely different from the person that we were before this happened. We may have been shy. We may have worried about what other people say. We may have just worried about hurting other people's feelings. But then after the loss, we're like, I don't care what other people say anymore. And I just have to say and be who I am. And if people don't like it, well, then that is their choice. So we may have been changed in a vast, you know, in a huge way, inwardly, inside, but also outwardly. Oftentimes, grieving parents find who their true friends are. They're people that avoid them like the plague, like happened to me, as if my child's cancer was contagious, you know, or, you know, people are just not kind with them. So another of the things that I encourage parents is to take stock on who are the people that bring them light, that bring them peace, that bring them love, and keep those close to them and distance themselves from the ones who don't. And those ones who don't offer them support and all that, maybe family members. And that is very difficult, but it is important to do what you can to limit contact with anyone at this time when you're grieving, when you're so vulnerable, when you're so easily bruised. Your heart is a huge, big bruise. So it's important to be kind to ourselves in those ways. And I would also encourage them to purchase a deck of angel cards and begin connecting with the angels, because the anxiety, the worry about the future, the trying to figure out what am I going to do next. Like, I was on this path. I thought, like in my case, I thought I was going to go this way. And then this bomb exploded in front of me. And now I have to pick up the pieces and figure out which way to go. So asking the angels and God for guidance and using these beautiful cards to as a conduit for that guidance is a great way to lower our anxiety and fear at a time when we're in such a difficult time.
Let's talk about that for a second. You know, did you feel that your deck called to you in a way? You know, I've heard that happens, that sometimes when we pick out a deck, whether it's angel cards or the tarot or any of that, that deck almost calls to us in a way. So, you know, encouraging others to work with angel cards, I would mm-hmm. probably say it's best that if that deck calls to you, go for it, correct?
Totally. The way I put it is like it winks at you. That's how I always feel. It winks at me.
I agree. Yeah. I definitely agree with that statement.
Thank you for pointing that out.
Now, do you feel like you're starting a grief revolution, that you're kind of changing the field when it comes to grieving?
You know, I do feel that I'm starting a grief revolution in that in combining the traditional ways of supporting grief with the spiritual element, that is the key. In combining those two, that is the key to parents opening their eyes to so much more in life. And I firmly believe that our children, and this is important, it has been an important realization for me to realize that as souls, before we come to the earth and have bodies, we make contracts with our parents, with our siblings. And those soul contracts may involve, in the case of my child, I do know that he chose to go through this, not only for his own spiritual growth, but for the spiritual growth of his family. And so when you look at things like that, when you look at life and happenings like that, and you realize that the reason we came to this world was not just to, you know, breathe and eat and work and sleep and talk, but to actually grow spiritually, then to open that door to parents who have experienced that loss, to look at life in a bigger way, to open themselves up to the support of the universe, into other realms, God, the angels, so that they will begin to live a more intensely loving and fearless life. I think that that's revolutionary to bring that into the grief counseling field.
Now, would you agree that there's different types of grief? You know, do you work with people who maybe haven't physically lost a child to death, but maybe have lost a child in a sense, such as like a failed adoption or a failed placement? You know, those are losses in grief as well. Do you help those types of individuals as well?
Definitely. Definitely. Grief is grief. That if your heart is hurting because of a loss, same thing with an unborn child, you know, or a failed adoption, like you're saying, all of these practices that I'm talking about, they can be, like I said, individualized, personalized to the person's type of loss. Just like the someone who loses a child to cancer that has a time, you know, I had almost 3 years with my son versus someone who loses a child or a loved one with a car accident or with murder or suicide or an overdose. Those are different. They are still the loss of a child, but they may require different ways of, you know, different modalities, practices to help them. And the same thing with, you know, a failed adoption, other kinds of losses. Yes.
Awesome. And I hope our listeners, you know, definitely take advantage of that, because I totally agree. Grief comes in many different forms, and sometimes
yes.
It's just, you know, not the physical loss. It's other losses too. So I'm so glad that you're able to help those individuals. You know, and I'm very happy that you chose to come to Body, Mind, Spirit Radio and convey all the messages that you have to offer. How do you feel this show can impact listeners? What are your hopes for this show to impact listeners?
Well, I would say that it is my sense that the grieving parents who are listening, or the grieving, anyone who is grieving, who's listening, they are searching for a, whether they know it or not, at some level they are searching for a spiritual approach to healing their hearts, because after the loss, because the traditional methods it seems like it's forever. And it doesn't mean, by healing, I don't mean that the grief is gone. I don't mean that you forget your child. No, it's actually your child is when you heal from it. What I mean is that you are able to move through it by feeling everything, by acknowledging the changes that happen, by healing your wounds, your inner child, by so many different practices that I talk about and help parents with, then they can move through that dark tunnel of grief and begin to see a more luminous place that they want to go to.
Mm-hmm.
So where was I? I kind of lost my thread.
That's okay. It happens. And then that's understandable. You know, how do you feel that this show can impact the listeners? You know, what do you hope for them to gain?
Yes. So I hope that they... The thread was that I was going with the regular approach. You know, it takes a long time, and it seems like there's never any sort of healing to the grief. And what I feel that I can bring, and I can bring to the table and help parents, is to realize that healing can take place And you can still grieve for your child. And you will always have your child. Actually, you can feel even closer to your child by connecting with in which ways your child will want to communicate with you and using those messages to help heal your heart. And so I feel that by bringing this different approach, parents can really begin to get, like, go deeper into, you know, just kind of like you have something and you have to go deep, you go down in, deep into the earth to get to the root of it. I think the root of it is that the parents are thirsty for answers to questions that are not given to them. Like if you ask, you know, your anybody, religious or not, they say, well, we don't know. We don't know the answers. But what about, you know, if you were able to connect with intuition and know, like with a deep and unshakable knowing, that there is a soul contract, that we're here to grow spiritually. What would that do to you? What would that do with that realization? How would that change you? If you're able to really get in touch with your intuition and trust in it. So bringing that spiritual approach can really go down to the root and help parents not just connect with their child and heal their heart, but also connect with the guidance, you know, from the angels, and then find what their divine mission in life is. What is the next step? So to me, that is a way to really change not their own lives, but the lives of those around them and the lives of the world.
Mm-hmm. Now, I want our listeners to know you're going to be live every Thursday at 10 a.m. So you're not doing this just on a monthly basis. You're doing this on a weekly basis, which I'm very happy to hear. And I'm sure our listeners are too. You know, what do you think the listeners of this show expect from you? But better yet, what are you bringing to the table? Let's talk about some of your future shows here. What are some of the concepts that you're going to be talking about, you know, within the next few weeks or even within this month?
Well, I'm going to be talking about how important it is to find a way to use different practices to release our feelings and to acknowledge them without any kind of self-criticism. And that, again, goes back to being kind to ourselves. And how to connect with the fact that what we think affects how we feel and affects our emotions. And so how can we become aware of our feelings in order to transform the way that we feel moment to moment. And that doesn't mean that we're trying to get rid of the sadness feeling or the, you know, but what it means is that if you're feeling angry all day long, that is affecting your relationships, you can find a way to get in touch with that anger, the root of why you're so angry. Let's say that you're angry because God took your child, and then find something that you can just hang on to that will switch that thought around. For example, I'm angry that God took my child, but I'm grateful that I had my child for 25 years and I was able to. So then you go from that to a spirit of gratitude, and that is a lot lighter in your heart. So then from moment to moment, you can use different practices to help turn your feeling state around. And also there are different practices that I'm going to discuss that you can use to begin your day on a positive note, and different activities that you can do. And also eventually I will be talking about how to help your other children if you have other children as they're grieving, and how to grieve together with your partner or husband or spouse. And so I have lots of wonderful topics that I hope will find you as a listener will find helpful and practical so that you can use them yourself and, you know, be transformative for you.
Now, I want to point out, yes, you're focusing on the loss of a child, and there's definitely
yes.
listeners out there that have experienced that or are going through some type of grieving process with a child, but these points, these things that you're bringing up can help deal with grief in any shape, form, or fashion, correct? You know, whether
yes.
you've lost a child or a mother or a brother, it doesn't matter. You know, I don't want to say grief works the same way, but these practices can help anybody who's dealing with grief, correct?
Yes, yes, definitely. Yes, they are not limited to the loss of a child, not at all. Yes.
Well, and I hope our listeners, you know, definitely take that into consideration, because even if you stumble on this show, you know, going, okay, but I haven't lost a child. If you've lost somebody in your life, you know, these practices can help you. These different scenarios and so forth can help you work through that grief. Losing a child is really hard. It's they say it's one of the most hardest things that can ever happen to you, but grief is grief, and
yes.
ultimately, at the end of the day, you know, losing a parent is hard. You know, losing anybody is hard. So these practices can kind of help anyone who's experiencing that loss.
Yes, you are very, very right about that. They apply to any kind of grief, whatever loss.
Awesome. Well, moving forward, you know, what is you know, the expectation. You know, I know most people are going to look at this show and go, oh, okay, you know, she's going to talk about these practices and so forth. You know, they're going to kind of rack it up to the traditional standards of, oh, it's just another way to get through the grief. But that's not what you're bringing to the table. You know, that's not what you want your listeners to expect, correct? You're really
yeah.
revolutionizing, you know, grief in a sense of, hey, yeah, there are these traditional practices. It's not that they can't help, but there's something more to this. There's a deeper element to this, which is, you know, the spiritual context and the emotional context. So do you feel like you expect your listeners to kind of look at this show a little bit differently because of that?
Yes, that would be my hope. My hope is that they will give it a chance. You know, they will listen to it and then see if it is something that will be helpful. But if this is really a completely different approach to healing from grief. And it doesn't discount the fact that we will grieve our losses forever, but it brings to the forefront the fact that while still grieving, we can take steps to function optimally and to connect with life at a deeper level and ultimately find a place where we can give ourselves permission to be happy again, because that is what our loved ones want for us. Whether it's your child, your parent, a spouse, what they want for us to know is that they're happy where they are, and they want for us to give ourselves permission to be happy.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree. You know, what is the most important message you would like to convey to grieving parents, you know, for somebody who is listening today, who took the time out to listen to your first show? What do you want to, you know, leave them with? What do you want to convey to them?
I would say probably the most important message that I can convey is that our children want us, most of all, to move past our suffering, and they want to help us do it. And in order for them to be able to help us, we need to make that connection between when they give a sign and what are we thinking and feeling at the time when we get those signs, so that then we can feel that their love, and then we can experience healing moment to moment. And so if our parents, the parents who are listening, realize that love is eternal, and just because our child is not here in body, that doesn't mean that the love that the child has and the love that you have for your child is not here. So connecting with that is key to being able to live, function in life in a much better way than than when we are in the deep suffering and the dark place of the deep grief.
You know, it's funny. I totally agree with you. My husband and I have this joke where he will tell me, "I love you," and I'll go, "Since when?" And the answer is always different, but he'll sometimes tell me, "Since the start of the universe, since the beginning of time, you know, for thousands of years." You know, the answer is always different, but it's always a statement of, you know, eternally. You know, like, my love has never stopped. It's never ended. It never will end. So I totally agree with you on that one, not just because of my own personal experiences, but because it is true. It doesn't,
it is.
Love never dies. It just doesn't.
No. No, it's here forever.
Yes, and I always say it just transforms. It transforms us.
Fun.
Yep. So.
Yeah. But you know. Oh, sorry.
Go ahead.
I just wanted to say, but I do understand from having been there that, you know, I may be talking, you and I may be talking about all these like spiritual, bigger kind of concepts and all that. And, you know, our child is happy where he's at, but our child is not in the body anymore, but we are in our bodies. And that's what makes it hard, because we're in the body. Well, it's hard for us to let go of our desire to hold and touch and feel and, you know, hear our child laugh. So I understand that, and I completely feel that. But there is a way to, in time, when we're ready, to be able to accept. Because a lot of times I find that part of what keeps us down in the, you know, keeps us from moving forward a little bit, you know, keeps us from taking baby steps, is our resistance to accepting the fact that this has happened. And so if we come to accept that this has happened and that, you know, your child is still with you connected spiritually and that his love connects you, then you can begin to take those baby steps and heal.
Celine, I don't know if you've seen the movie Collateral Beauty.
Collateral Beauty.
Yes.
Tell me what's about. That rings a bell.
It actually has Will Smith in it, and I have actually seen it recently, and it's a beautiful movie. He actually loses a child, and this movie talks about, you know, going through his grief and how he's kind of checked out from life and how his friends encourage him to come back, you know, to be aware of, yes, you are grieving and so forth, but, you know, you have to still live. So they kind of do it in a very interesting way. He writes a letter to Time, Death, and Love, and they in return give representations of that. So it has this spiritual element to it. But there was a part in the movie where somebody was describing their loss of a child, and they said that, and this stuck with me, this sticks with me to this day, that their child is waiting for them and that they need to continue to live, you know, and go through this grief and be that parent, be that representation for them. But however, when their time comes, and that could be today, tomorrow, 20 years from now, that their child will be waiting for them, and it will be as only if a second passed, that joining of that child and that parent to that child, it will only seem like a second passed, that, you know, they've helped their parent, that they've encouraged their parent, they've supported their parent, but to them, the loss wasn't there. Their parent is just now there with them. And that just stuck with me. I thought it was very beautiful and a very beautiful part of the movie, because in so many ways, you know, I feel like that's true. You know, yes, your child is giving those messages. They're there to help you, but no time is passing for them. And when it is your time to join them, no time for them has passed at all. You know, it's just us that need to continue to live, to continue to represent that parent figure, you know, and to continue to inspire others, because we have that impact here on earth. So I just thought that was beautiful.
That is beautiful, and it's very powerful, and it so completely resonates with me. And I want to share one thing that I remember this. having to do with, you know, connection with your child that, you know, like I said, mentioned earlier that I had, my son came to me in dreams that were really like visits, you know, for 2 years. After those 2 years had passed, he came to me in another dream. And in that one dream, I was begging for him to come to me. And he was like pulling teeth for him to come and sit on my lap. So he, after a lot of me begging, he came to me, sat on my lap, and let me kiss him and hug him. And then he said to me, "I am now helping Daddy. I am now helping Daddy." So that was confirmation to me that our children, the time, like you're saying in that movie, is like nothing. You know, they're not, you know, they don't have that concept of time for them, but that they do take active steps to try to help us get out of the, stop suffering as we're grieving for them.
Mm-hmm. And I definitely agree with that. You know, mm-hmm. we're down to the last few minutes of the show. So what is the next step for you? You know, you've talked about working in social work and kind of stepping aside from that to create a broader span to bring more information to definitely more people on, you know, the things that you've experienced and the things that you know. What is the next step for you? What do you hope to achieve from here?
Well, this is the next step for me. The stepping out on my own to bring out this spiritual approach to grief, to start this grief revolution, to offer grief coaching to the grieving parents who are ready and open to work with me, to offer my program from winter to spring. And because I feel this spiritual approach is really needed in this world. And oftentimes when I go into groups of grieving parents and they share how their lives are living hell, and I've been there, they don't know how they're going to survive their loss and how much they miss their child, or they have been disappointed by the expectations or the comments that some of their friends and family members, you know, give them. My heart gets heavy because, you know, I've been there. But I want to share with the world that there is a way to move through the darkness, you know, of the deep grief in order to enter a place that is filled with light, with peace, with joy, and with purpose. And that your child, your loved one, just wants that for you very, very much. So I would hope for them to join me, and I'm very, very excited about this new phase in my life.
Awesome. Well, we're so happy to have you, and I'm very honored to be able to interview you today. Is there anything you would like to leave the listeners with? And then I'm going to ask you once again to give out your contact information.
Yes, I just know that I'm here for you. If any of what I have said today and I will in my future shows resonates with you, just feel free to contact me. You can email me at selenenegreteauthor@yahoo.com. You can visit my website and find out more information about me and my book and my program. And the website is www.notyourusualgriefbook.com, or you can visit me on Facebook if you look for Selene Negrete Author. And I look forward to talking with you next Thursday at 10.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Celine. And like I said, it was a great pleasure being able to speak with you today and help the listeners get to know you. It was an honor, and I look forward to your show. I really do.
Thank you so much, Courtney. Really appreciate the support.
Thank you. And if you're just tuning in, you're listening live with Blessings with Celine. If you were unable to hear the whole show, please visit BodyMindSpiritRadio.com and click on Blessings with Celine. Her show is there in archives, so you can go back through and listen to the whole thing. I highly recommend you know, share that link with friends and family, anybody that you know who has suffered a loss or is grieving the loss of a child. Celine is here to help you. I also want to point out that all of her contact information is on there. The cover of her book, where you can go to purchase it, all the ways that you can connect with her. So once again, please go to BodyMindSpiritRadio.com and click on Blessings with Celine, and everything's there for you. I want to thank Celine. She's been a wonderful host, and we're so excited to have her here with Body Mind Spirit Radio. And she will be live every Thursday, so weekly, from 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time. So until next week, please enjoy the rest of your day.